Hi, this is Justin Trudeau. You're listening to CFIU 93.3 Guelph Campus Radio.
Welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I am Adam A. Take Two Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Scotty Hertz, a.k.a. Who's Got the Salt? Never mind the cannabis. Anybody got any salt?
Yeah.
Calcium chloride stashed away?
Who's got like six bags hidden in their garage?
Because if you do, you're going to be very wealthy.
Oh, yeah.
Just fill the garage with salt. Like, I don't have a garage. Fill it and sell it at inflated prices and be the capitalist that I've always hated. I don't know.
What? What a note to start
on. It should
on.
Be free, man. All the salt. Anyway, don't slip out there, folks. Watch your step. That's all I can say.
Good. Open Sources is CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show. And also we have good housekeeping tips. We are here every Thursday at 5 p.m. to talk the latest in political and current affairs. You can also listen to us live online. Go to CFRU.ca, click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen. And you can also listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. So today, SNC-Lavalin is the thing that will kill Sunny Ways and bury Justin Trudeau in a grave of Canadian despair. At least that's what we're being led to believe. But will it? And then Amazon is moving out of New York before even moving in, and they're blaming it all on the socialists. But was HQ2 always a folly of corporate welfare? And then finally, anti-vaxxers. It's now proven they'll kill us all with measles, infecting thousands. But... we'll start...
should not be funny, but is, yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's one of those, what Mr. Phelps would call sad but true stories.
Oh, yeah.
My grade 8 math teacher, Mr. Phelps, he always had sad but true stories. Most of them involved kids not doing their homework and going on to a life of squalor and failure.
Or crime, right?
Crime was probably in the mix. speaking of crime,
if you don't learn your fractions,
really.
You're going to rob a bank. Yeah.
Yeah. The too long didn't read of grade 8 math with Mr. Fels. But first, the Ontario legislature is back in session. Can you tell we missed a week? The legislature is back in. They went back in on Tuesday. They got quite the greeting from several hundred Ontario students. Of course. As you know, we here at CFRU are in that jam. With the Student Choice Initiative, maybe we might lose our funding or maybe a good portion of our funding, and also the cuts to tuition fees and turning OSAP grants into loans. So there was quite the reception.
Yes, I just wanted to mention excellent coverage by Eli Ritter there on something called Guelph Politico.
Never heard of it.
I didn't realize he'd gone full on
socialist,
full on correspondent. It was
fake news.
Very informative stuff. Yeah, it was action packed day.
It looked very action packed. I wish I could have gone myself, but
yeah, me too. But got awake, right?
Occasionally. Yeah. That was one thing going on. There were hecklers in the public gallery. No mean feat, having now been at Queen's Park and sort of understanding the lay of the land, trying to heckle the premier from the public gallery. It's not easy. That was take one. Take two is still the ongoing thing about autism funding. There was an event on Wednesday morning because I was down at Queen's Park for another event. It was the NDP talking about how the changes to the funding for autism are having a negative effect on, or could have a negative effect on families because they haven't gone through yet. And out of that, we have MPP Randy Hillier being suspended from caucus for yada yawing.
For channeling Seinfeld.
For channeling Seinfeld. He yada yawed the parents with autistic kids.
The longtime enfant terrible of the PCs, Mr. Backoff Government, who seems to have spent a heck of a lot of time there. He also keeps referring to himself as an electrician, and as one, I have to say, Randy, you should renew your license because it's been expired for 6 years. I happen to look up on our lookup. So, ex-electrician, I guess. But he may need to go back on the tools if this keeps up, but I think he's the kind, he won't get yanked out anyway. But yeah, he's...
Some would argue he's already a tool.
Yeah. Whoa. Mm. Yes.
We're getting saucy.
He's fairly notorious in certain circles, I think, for mouthing off, and he's finally been brought to bear for that. So, and again, lots of mouthing off, too. In fact, those protesters should have their mouths washed out with soap. When did Doug Ford's never used a sweary word in his life.
No,
eh?
No.
Not once? Not twice?
Nope.
He's just
Holy Christmas, eh?
Ivory snow, 99.44%, whatever.
Some of those kids were getting pretty crikey there with the swear words.
Great indoctrination examples, those kids freely expressing themselves. This I don't get. The convoy, so-called, can go to Parliament Hill and honk and interrupt and everything, and he's probably okay with that because conservatives and Faith Goldie seem to be okay with that one. And that protest kind of overshadowed the student protest that was going on Parliament Hill. We didn't hear a thing about it because we want to see the all 100 yellow vests. I think there's probably less there than there were at Queen's Park. Students versus yellow vests. It's the protest era. Everybody's angry. Back
everybody's
off, everybody.
Angry.
Back off.
Yeah, it's the... that wasn't really on the call sheet this week about the yellow vests, the convoy.
No, but I mean, I think there were students there that just kind of got shoved aside because there's big rigs coming that love oil.
But I mean, that's sort of been highly mischaracterized, too, as, you know, this working class protest and, you know, we're just wanting our jobs. And it's like, well, yeah, the yellow vest is also about, you know, the UN migrant pack and how it's going to force all the brown people down our throats. And
it got all weird. I mean,
Faith Goldie was there, but then Andrew Scheer comes out and, you know, welcomes them too. And it's like, do you really want to be on the same boat as Faith Goldie?
I don't think so. He was and knows darn well where that's going because maybe, you know, she's addressing the so-called radicals. But yeah, I don't know. I love oil and gas on that big rig was like, yeah, I know you love like your cad or something, right? But anyway, that, again, like you said, wasn't on the sheet, but there's definitely.
You love your cat.
Yeah. You should love your
cat.
And
then there's another scandal with another like weird appointment with Cameron Montgomery, who ran for the PCs. Being appointed as the administrator of the Education Quality and Accountability Office, which administers the standardized tests for grades 3, 6, and 9.
Did that just happen in the past 24 hours? Yes, yeah, I missed that, but that's not surprising.
But it's
gotta keep the friends happy.
But it's like it's a six-figure job that used to be like you would earn an honorarium, you'd earn a per diem. Because it's
like
not a full-time job.
Yeah. It's like, here's a sandwich.
And they talked to one guy who used to do it under the NDP, David Cook, who said like he got $225 per day when he was called to work. And he said in one busy year, he made $20,000.
Ooh.
So
poverty line stuff,
so,
yeah.
So, that's $1,990.
Still.
Dollars.
Yeah, it's actually $1 million. No, it's not.
Well, the per diem of $225 in 1990 would be about $3,600 today. But
they can find a different line in the budget for stuff like per diems versus a salaried gig, right?
Right. The point is, it's not a full time job, and so a lot of people are saying, like, why is this guy doing a job for a full time job salary when it's not a full time job?
Because he's a friend, right? That's why.
Well,
you take care of your friends.
Well, we
whether
know.
It's Hazel McCallion or
although Hazel McCallion had the good sense to say that, you know, at 98 years old, maybe I don't need a full-time job.
Yeah, she's still in the network though. So.
Well, yes. The whole autism thing is bizarre. Not the autism itself, but the treatment of parents with autistic kids, because this is like really lit a fire under them. They were amongst the more ticked off at the liberals, but to hear some of them talk now, like working under liberals was like the salad days, because now we have, I mean, it's incredible that there's 23,000 kids on a waiting list to get proper help. people waiting for years, and it seems like they've sacrificed the waiting list, or they sacrificed, you know, good service to eliminate the waiting list. And I'm not sure that's a great trade. Actually, I'm definitely sure that's not a great trade off.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you're talking for proper treatment for some of these kids, you're talking about between $40,000 to $60,000 a year. And so how much is a couple hundred dollars? How far is a couple hundred dollars going to go?
Yeah, putting the cap on it, what is it, $140,000?
Yeah.
For the length. And then, of course, when you hit, what's the cutoff age? Is it 18?
That's 18.
When you're an adult, then it's like, yeah, it probably doesn't end there. Now, mind you, it is something that has a range and various, you know, it's as if. But if
right. Autism, but it's like anything. One size fits all, yeah.
Yeah. Anything like that. Are they going to start doing that in other areas of healthcare too? It's like, well, we're going to give you this much cancer care about them. Because that's essentially what it is, right? You're putting a cap on something that has a wide range of stuff. It's like, well, you can get this. It's we're, you know, heading towards that cookie cutter healthcare system stuff that we're talking about, and that's also something high on the agenda. Speaking of healthcare, is the, what do they call them? I'm forgetting the name off the top of my head. Call the super agency. Getting rid of the LHINs.
Yeah,
and dissolving them and making just one giant sucker of a healthcare agency, and we know how well that's worked in other places. I think we talked about that a few weeks back, but
No, yeah, that was the before we were off last week.
And something else on the cards too is the overhaul to the Police Services Act,
yes,
aka the Comprehensive Ontario Police Services Act, or COPS as it's called. They're really good at having the fun names for bills now, as opposed to just calling them Bill 175, which is the bill that they will be getting rid of. And it sounds like the short version is that a lot of the SIU investigative stuff is going to be throttled back a bit. One in particular, and I think it happened in town too, where the police arrived and somebody had died from drugs, and then the SIU investigated. So that's probably an example of something it's a good thing in terms of, you know. But the bad element of it might be is that certain things, lots of things, might not get as thoroughly investigated as they have in the past, because I think they put a timeline on as to how long they can, you know, we need to report in 120 days, I think. And you need to update us every 30 days. I believe that's the numbers as to what's going on. So, you know, some things cannot be rushed, especially if it's a complex investigation, among other things. But again, this is something else that's in the pipe. Whether there'll be people up in the gallery yelling obscenities, we don't know yet, but they generally don't like to piss the police off, though. The police generally get what they want. And actually, the Ontario Medical Association, that was on Tuesday, the headline was, the government has reached a tentative deal. But that's not actually accurate. Binding arbitration is a different thing from the government reaching a deal. Binding arbitration is when an arbitrator reaches a deal for the parties. I think the comment from the OMA was, well, we didn't get everything, but there's certain things that have happened that we're cool with. They have to be cool with it because it's binding arbitration. So lots in the pipe, my God, pages and pages of things. But
yeah, the police thing is interesting because, I mean, one of the changes is that to get cooperation in the investigations, there used to be one of the things the Liberals changed was, yeah, there was that they instigated a pretty hefty fine for if you don't, and you should
drag your feet,
help investigate, you know, into something if you're being investigated by the SIU. But it used to be like $50,000 or up to 1 year in jail. But now that's being taken down to $5,000,
which is peanuts. That's your overtime for 1 weekend.
Yeah, or $10,000 for subsequent offenses. But yeah, it's just, you know, I don't think the issue is SIU investigations, and it seems to be a tenet to sort of trust police implicitly, and I think that's understandable. We all want to trust police, but I think it doesn't make sense to just sort of go out and say, you know what, we should just trust the police under every circumstances. There should be like really stringent, pointed, deep investigative, you know, if someone dies, well, a police officer is there. Because the point of a police officer is to make sure nobody dies. And I understand what Caroline Mulroney is saying, that if a police officer tries to administer CPR.
Yeah, like the overdose death, yeah.
I mean, that's – yeah, I get it that that police officer was trying to save a life, but I don't think it's just – I don't think it's – I think it's going a bit too far to say that we're treating him like a criminal because we have to make sure everything's on the up and up, because all it would take is to find out that one police officer was like an angel of death or something. Not that I'm saying that that happens or has happened, but I mean that's the kind of thing that Wettlaufer.
Exactly.
It happens. Yep. It happens. Yeah. If the system isn't buttoned up, it can happen. And it's nothing about not trusting police. It's about, you know, saying like it's about saying who watches the watchers. But I mean it's part of the whole silliness with this government, frankly. It's and you know for Randy Hillier, I'll just end with this. Randy Hillier to be suspended for saying yada yada by Doug Ford, who once went on a tirade because of a support house for teenagers with autism that was trying to
be built in
Etobicoke.
Yeah.
And then when one of the fathers filed an integrity commissioner complaint with him about it, and he goes to the Toronto Sun, Doug Ford, and says he can go to hell. The father of an autistic teenager can go to hell. And then Cynthia Mulligan of City News asks him about it, and he starts screaming at her about how she's chasing after him in a jihad. Because you know who does jihads, don't you?
Oh,
evil brown people. So, you know.
She must be a socialist as well.
It's
oh, my goodness.
A bit rich for Doug Ford having to bring the hammer down on Randy Hillier when Doug Ford has frankly said a heck of a lot worse. And on top of that, we didn't even touch upon Lisa McLeod, who apparently threatened
it's gonna be a long 4 years if you don't take the deal.
Yes, exactly right.
My God, we could dedicate the whole hour to this, but
we could, but we won't.
Need to move on.
More
to come.
Speaking of scandals, we'll move to a federal scandal, and this kind of broke wide open while we were off last week. SNC-Lavalin. Or Lavalin,
if you are depending
of
on...
French accent. Mm-hmm. It's a Montreal engineering firm, no stranger to scandal itself. But apparently last fall, the PMO asked former Attorney General Julie Wilson-Raybould if there was any way she could, you know, lean on the prosecutor to kind of take it easy on SNC-Lavalin. I mean, they're good kids. They're just trying to build stuff. And... Jody Wilson-Raybould said, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to leave the prosecutor alone. And that was when there was a lot of furious back and forth between SNC-Lavalin and key members of the government and the federal bureaucracy trying to get some clemency going or trying to get the prosecutor to take it a bit easy on them. This has all sort of come to a boil because, as you know, last month, Jody Wilson-Raybould left the Attorney General's office and became Veterans Affairs. And then last week, she resigned from cabinet. And I think this is the scandal a lot of people have been waiting for.
Oh, yeah, especially the Conservative Party. But, yeah, if you saw Jody Wilson-Raybould's face the day she was sworn into the Veterans Affairs position, it told all. If you can look up that footage, go ahead, because it spoke volumes. She didn't have to say anything. And then, of course, it all happened within a period of a couple of weeks, right? But the fact is, and I guess we'll get to Gerald Butts in a minute or two, but in the past 2 years, SNC-Lavalin officials have met with the government 50 times. I think it's somebody dug this up on Access to Information.
Mm-hmm.
The topics, they never say exactly what was discussed, but the topics were justice and law enforcement. Now, isn't that interesting? It's an engineering firm.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
14 of those meetings were with, quote, PMO people. Now, as to whether that's Trudeau himself or Raybould, it remains to be seen. It could even be Gerald Butts, who resigned on Monday, who was, as you've heard, Trudeau's principal secretary had been tight since their days at McGill. He said it was in his best interest that he step away to sort of, I guess, take the heat off. But, I mean, that's taking serious heat off. Those guys are very, very tight. He's been referred to in places as the brains behind the operation. It's like Trudeau didn't do anything without consulting with Jerry. Jerry did sound like Kramer for a second there. But anyway, it's Kramer-esque. I expect him to open the door and go, Jerry, what's going on? So he's been sidelined. I don't think he's gone. Usually when people step down with something like that from a position such as that, they'll just sort of hover in the
background. He can go to Liberal HQ and start working on re-election stuff.
Just give him a little terminal and he can sit in the back and because he definitely knows the drill. But as he said, he implied like SNC-Lavalin have been like for years. You know, there's been bribery scandals brewing. One in particular was the Libyan one.
Mm-hmm.
People may remember that when the Libyan, let's call it the revolution, I guess, or the overthrow of Gaddafi was on, John Baird went rushing over there, who's part of the Harper government, and they were putting all kinds of restrictions on companies. And one of the exceptions was SNC-Lavalin because they were in the middle of a big build. I'm not sure what the end result of that was. Like, all that stuff got built eventually, probably, maybe. But the Export Development Canada have been lobbing cash at SNC-Lavalin for years.
Mm-hmm.
They just ask and they get money. Mm-hmm. Now, loans, mind you, but still, it's like they have some special kind of mojo going on. And it's with both. Yeah, it doesn't matter who's in power, liberals and conservatives. But when you've got a company that's got like something like 9 or 10,000 jobs in Quebec, when you arrive in Montreal, you know, the SNC-Lavalin is emblazoned on a hill there. You see it all the time. This, I mean, the serious political ramifications if they don't sort of keep them happy.
Right.
There's lots of, like, Bombardier is the same thing. Bombardier comes to mind. It's just, oh, we better keep them. They're almost an extension. You know, they're almost a federally run in some ways because they're so tight, right?
Even though they can't deliver a train on time.
Yeah, like down Kitchener Way. We'll see what happens there.
It's the whole, I think one of the things that strikes me is that this is the kind of BS that Trudeau was supposed to not get involved in. This is like something that could have happened under Chrétien or Martin fairly easily. And that was not the brand Justin Trudeau ran on. He wasn't running on the brand of same old liberals. Can't live with us. Can't live without us. He ran on new change and sunny ways and all that. And this isn't sunny ways. But, you know, it proves that, you know... A crook's a crook, a crook. Well, not that anyone's really a crook.
Alleged.
But, you know, it's just, it's sad. It's sad to see, you know, I have no personal investment in Justin Trudeau, but it's sad to see that, you know, this is just more of the same. It's the same old, same old. And that's not what he promised. The flip side of this, too, is that a lot of people have been enjoying this, like, to an absurd degree. Like the political cartoonists.
Yeah.
The political cartoonists have been nuts. There's some of like almost like borderline like violent imagery in some of the political cartoons.
I think somebody was called on it and said, okay, I probably shouldn't have done that one with sort of Wilson Raybould in a headlock or something. Like, yeah.
But there's also like I saw another one of like Justin Trudeau in like the fetal position after Gerald, aka Seymour Butts, resigned. It's like I think he's gonna be okay. He hasn't lost his like special needs t-shirt. He's a grown man who's been at this long enough to know that, you know, people burn out in politics, if not because they're being burned by a scandal, just, you know, in general. Gerald Butts was going to go sooner or later. Mm-hmm. The other part of this is, like, the media. Like, I find the Canadian media, not that they shouldn't look into this, but I find that there's, like, a relishment about this, like... And also, kind
of smell blood. We're going.
It's also kind of blown out of proportion. I think that a lot of people in Canadian media are seeing like what's going on south of the border and like,
and want it to be that.
Yeah, like every night at 7 p.m.
Yeah,
there's some breaking headline from the New York Times or Washington Post that's like a gateway to a whole new Trump scandal we never understood, and you know people have been thirsty for that up here, and so you have Omar Sajidina going to Gerald Butts' house and knocking on the door. You know, it's like, what are you trying to prove? Like, that you're like, you know, Woodward and Bernstein, you're going to knock on people's door at 10 p.m. so you can catch them unawares and off guard? Cool, Omar.
But there was an interesting walking shot with Jody Wilson-Raybould, who they've been trying to, and she spoke. She didn't, again, spoke but didn't say a heck of a lot, and of course kept claiming attorney-client privilege. Which is a very wise move because it sounds like
she's the only one that's been acting like an adult through this entire thing.
She is. I heard prime ministerial actually. But
maybe
she is a lawyer. She was the top lawyer in the country at one point, and she's taken legal counsel and everything. Not everything, but most of the things that
not just any legal counsel, a former Supreme Court justice,
exactly. And the big guns are out, right? But everything that Prime Minister Trudeau says these days sounds like it was written by a lawyer, right? Like one of his lines was, "I continue to be puzzled as to why Jody Wilson-Raybould acted the way that she did." Like it's all very structured.
And he says Jody. It's like
Jody.
He keeps
Sister
calling her Jody.
Jody.
You know,
my girl.
It's
Jody.
Very, you know, it's very why, Mr. Jody. Rogers.
Yeah.
Which. In this situation,
Jody did a bad thing.
Freaking falls.
Yeah, it's, she didn't do anything wrong. I don't think that's what it sounds like. This is like an integrity battle more than anything.
Right, and that's
I'm not
the,
doing that.
I think
for
that's
you.
The thing that's that, and I heard Jesse Brown say this. That you know that's the thing that'll stick to this is just how she's been treated, how he's like sort of demeaned her by saying Jody instead of saying like Minister Raybould or Miss Wilson-Raybould or something like that. Like,
does he refer to his pal Seamus O'Regan, the new Indigenous minister, as Seamus or?
Or
let's put the most cracker guy in the whole place in charge of something.
By the way, can that be any dirtier? Like Montreal MP, first-time cabinet member, David Lametti, now the attorney general?
Oh,
that's not suspicious at all.
No. Can you spell Quebec? You got the job.
I mean, there's been a whole bunch of like dirty stuff on like the fact she was like one of the... If she was, Hunter Tudu hasn't been in Canada for a while, but she was the only Indigenous person. She was the first Indigenous woman to be attorney general.
Yep.
The whole, you know, gender parity, you know, is that BS? Because, you know, he seems to have no problem, you know, throwing a woman under the bus. And then you have, like, Anthony Housefather, who said that she was replaced as AG because she couldn't speak French. And then he had to take that back. And, like, one of the most galling ones was Randy Bosenalt, who was on the Justice Committee. He, you know, they're talking about calling witnesses and that, and he literally throws out the word witch hunt.
Oh.
And it's like, why, of all the possible words to talk about this, why do you pick those two? Because
yeah,
that's just connects it to certain people who refuse to accept certain facts in certain countries in regards to other certain investigations, and nobody wants that comparison. Why? Oh, why did you say witch hunt? I hope you.
You need to stop talking now, son, because yes. You're really using the wrong word.
Randy.
Language. But the another Randy. We're going to work Randy. A Randy into every yes. topic this week. The and funny enough, when he said lobbed under the bus, it reminded me like when that comment that he made about being puzzled. He was in a bus yard or something. He was like doing some kind of – you don't see the symbolism here, dude? You're like standing in front of the buses talking about
yeah.
all of this. Because
that
you know everywhere
planned.
You're he's trying to put forward these good news announcements as they do because electioneering is now a year long, right? And
yeah.
But of course, you know if the press are there – you know, this is why people like the Ford administration shut the press out because you can't get the announcement in because they're going to just – the only thing that will make the cut is like, well, what about SNC-Lavalin? There's probably a lot of people in Canada that had never even heard of these guys until this all blew. So I'm kind of wondering what's going to be next. You know, Butts mm-hmm. is about as high ranking as you can get. Who's – will other people fall on the swords that they've got – they're handing out? Like, here you go. Can I use
yeah,
that one? That's not quite witch hunt, but you know what I mean.
It's fine.
I have to check with the approval department.
But yeah, I don't know where it can go because it seems like things have calmed down because they had her at the cabinet meeting the other day. And sort of after that, the tone suddenly changes. Like, yeah, she will speak at some point when she gets all that lined up.
Still a Liberal MP.
She's still a Liberal MP.
She's not bailing from the party. She's going to go independent. So
it's, you know, there's something going on. And they went sort of... let her speak without making sure all their ducks in a row. So it just, you know, I think one of the lessons here again is, you know, the scandal is the cover up. And there was a wicked job to try and cover something up right from the frickin' change in of the guard back in January when Scott Bryson stepped down.
Yeah, I keep referring to that, too. It's like, this never would have happened. Scott Bryson
yeah.
hadn't...
Throw
like,
Scott Bryson yeah. under the bus, too. You know, married gay member of the caucus. You know, let's throw all the representation under the bus. You know, it's your sunny ways. Under the bus! Justin!
Yeah, don't draw a cartoon of it or somebody will be mad.
Yeah, it's...
We can use the metaphor, I guess.
But, you know, we're now into, you know, it's been over a month since that, and we're still, like, kind of digging out from under it. And, you know, just... You know, it's bad. Just say it. Just say it out loud that you had a disagreement with Jody Wilson-Raybould and you wanted to make a change at Attorney General, and the piece of this too is, SNC-Lavalin, not the cleanest hands in the corporate world, but do they do a lot of good? Yeah, a lot of good middle class jobs at stake. Yes, a lot of
I think something like 50,000 worldwide.
Yeah,
but they do argue. They'll say like, well, there's certain countries we can only work there if we bribe people. Like, that's the kind of logic. But
right.
I know they're banned from World Bank contracts. I think for about 10 years, which is huge, right?
But. Well, which is why it's all the more pressing that they don't get banned from Government of Canada projects, because if they're convicted, then that source goes up the window. And then what do you do? You know, it's a mess. It's not as cut and dry, but the cover up doesn't make it any better.
An evolving story, and we'll definitely be on it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We will not stop until we see
will not yield.
Justin
we will not
Trudeau yield. Curl up in a little ball in the House of Commons until he admits that he was wrong about sunny ways. Anyway, we're going to take a break. And,
yes, we need it.
And then come back with some more news from the last week. Here's a little ditty you might remember. You're listening to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Nobody now giving no break. Police now giving no break. That old soldier man now give you no break. Not even your eyes you now give you no break. Hey, hey, bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Cops is filmed before. No.
You were about to say Cops is filmed before a live studio.
Before a live studio eyes. And then I stopped myself, but.
Maybe.
I'm sure most people know that. You may not know some of those lyrics. That was Bad Boys by Inner Circle, also known as the theme from Cops, from their album Blazing Fire. And that's in honor of that legislation that the Ontario government's putting forward. Because I just thought it was really funny to name something with an anagram?
Yes.
Cops.
You just
filmed
got your
before.
You just got your English degree.
Aww.
Definitely
I wish. Can I get an honorary one? U of G? And if there's any money involved, I'll give it to the station. No, anyway, next topic.
Well, if you could learn it from a book, you could probably get that book from Amazon. But
nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out.
Uh-huh.
So Amazon had this search contest, elaborate PR scheme to find a new headquarters, or actually a second headquarters. Their main headquarters in Seattle is staying put where it is. But they were going to open a second headquarters, and a number of American and Canadian cities took part, including Toronto, put in a bid. The winner was New York, Long Island City, technically, which is just across the river from Midtown Manhattan, the East River. And Washington, so it was going to be split between the two locations. It was between 25 and 50,000 jobs. But last week, Amazon pulled from HQ2, from New York, citing socialists. Socialists in the city, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Randy and the socialists are going to get mentioned in every... We don't have a Randy in the story, I don't think. But yeah, that's right. It's AOC's fault.
Let me
fault.
Check my notes. I'll make sure.
It's AOC's fault that this didn't happen. So Amazon pretty much went on a search for how much corporate welfare can we get?
Basically.
Governor Cuomo was behind this. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio was behind this. But the most interesting comment I saw was from Richard Florida, or Florida, I guess he calls himself, the urban guru from U of T, actually, but I think he's originally American. I don't think he's from Florida, though. And his analysis was, you know, this was a disaster in that you don't aim for a community that's a hotbed of activism where people like AOC are from to place an operation like this, an operation that is pretty much anti-union. Is known for mistreating its workers. These are facts. This isn't just my opinion. And it seems they had some kind of project where they were assisting ICE. Did you hear this? With facial recognition software, which was the weirdest of the stories. But it's like when you have all of this, obviously people in the neighborhood that you're going to take over may have some objections regardless of how many jobs you claim that you're going to offer up. Plus,
well, I guarantee you nobody in the neighborhood working at the Crab Shack was going to get a job at HQ2.
No, probably not. But the amount of corporate welfare was, I think, to the tune of $3 billion. And I think AOC's argument and others was that couldn't that be better applied to things that they need in the community rather than have this? It reminded me of, you know, the Olympic bids and sports teams come to town. It's like, you have to give us all this and then we'll come. They all do it. This is like multi-billion, you know, Bezos is the richest guy in the world. It's like, why should you have to do this? There should be other reasons as to why a company should come to town rather than how many essentially kickbacks they can get from the community. And that's, it's, you know, and I think it isn't right. That's my opinion. So,
and I'll do you one better. They paid $0 in federal tax
case last rested.
Year. And that was after their profits doubled from $5.6 billion to $11.2 billion. And in point of fact, Amazon actually got $129 million rebate, which means technically their tax rate is -1%.
There you have it. It speaks for itself.
So not only are they the richest corporation on the planet, we're actually paying them to be in business. Or I guess Americans technically, but they also have offices in Canada. So
yeah, and I'm not sure what Toronto offered up in their bid, but it probably was similar. I mean, it's the kind of thing we're gonna see at Ontario Place. There, it'll be, you know, what kickbacks can I get, and then I'll build this, which is probably gonna be more condos. Again, that's a separate thing, but it's similar in that it's like we have this property over the space. I'm sure it was like a brownfield.
Well, Ontario Place too is gonna be one of these. Yeah. Probably.
Oh, I don't know if it'll be Amazon, but yeah.
Well, I'm not saying Amazon will buy Ontario Place, but it'll be like one of those contests. I think that's the worst part about all this is that there was a certain media complicity, like, oh, isn't this fun? They're trying to have this contest to see who can attract them to the area. And it's like, no, they were like the corporate fief lord who is like, show us your wares. What will you offer us to build our vaunted headquarters?
And there are 200 of you, and there will be one.
Right, and again, it's just nobody in the area. There would have been ancillary benefits from, like, restaurants and things. But you're talking about an area of...
A hospital.
Queens. I think it's Queens.
Yeah.
Where there was a lot of cheap rent, where there was a lot of artists who were getting cheap studio spaces. All those people would have been gone.
Nuked. Yeah, that just goes when something like this comes
because to Because they would have opened HQ2. They would have required all sorts of skilled workers because this wasn't like a warehouse they were opening up. This was like a headquarters. So you're talking about professionals. You're talking about skilled workers, skilled trades, programmers, coders, marketing people.
Who want certain things.
Those people. Advanced degrees people who would all be moving to this area, buying land, buying apartments, rents up.
Yeah, and the slumlords would have been for it too because it's like, good, we can kick these people out and come up with a way to kick grandma out. And
so, you know, let's not pretend they were going to be, you know, making the neighborhood better for people who were there. And it wasn't just AOC. AOC has become sort of something of a lightning rod for any socialist, shall we say, socialist activity.
Sure.
But New York City Council was unimpressed by this.
Yes.
There was like zero reaction from the New York City Council. There was a meeting in December where Amazon came to sort of lay out the plan, and there were protesters in the gallery there unfurling banners talking about, you know, blank talking Amazon. Mm-hmm. And there was absolutely zero reaction from the city councilors who were just like yeah, whatever. And
because I thought the New York State Assembly had proposed legislation that's going to phase out what they're calling corporate welfare funds. So exactly for it, right?
This is the thing with Cuomo. Cuomo's like an old-fashioned, like, neoliberal centrist Democrat. It's like anything for business. But Cuomo was forced to go to the left because he had a pretty strong, at least in terms of media presence, Cynthia Nixon. The actress ran against him in a primary challenge. So he had to run to the left. And so, you know, shows that it really took that he's coming out in defense of Amazon and talking about how the socialists have ruined his life again.
Democratic socialists, you know. Yeah.
Of course, his brother on CNN is kind of a putz, too.
good thing he's not in this country. We might be in trouble.
I'm not afraid of Chris Cuomo. But it's, yeah, it just, the corporate welfare thing. Because you're right, this is exactly like the stadium thing. When
the Pan Am Games, you name
it. Sports owners are demanding, like, you know, we have this valuable sports team here. It'd be a shame if we were to, you know, pack it up and move it elsewhere.
Oh, no, don't. And there's millions.
We've seen pushback against that. The Calgary Flames have been trying to get a new arena for years. Mm-hmm. And Calgary's been throwing up mad obstruction. Because they don't want that to be on taxpayer shoulders, especially now with the, you know, the oil conditions.
Yeah, they're
going to
become the Fort McMurray pipelines.
Right. And then the same thing with L.A. Rams. The Rams wanted to build a new stadium in L.A., wanted, you know, the L.A. taxpayers to foot the bill, and they're like, no, we're not. And it's like, easiest thing in the world is to move an NFL team out of Los Angeles. Ask the Raiders.
Yeah.
But the Rams are still there the last time I checked. So, I mean, I think what it says to me is, like, we're reaching a breaking point with some of this stuff. And, you know, particularly in the case of Amazon, where you're talking about the richest man in the world, who's the
CEO of one of
the... He's
getting divorced and he'll still be really loaded, right?
Yeah, he's the CEO of one of the largest corporations in the world. Like, Amazon and Apple, they are the top two. To go begging to, you know, cities that are struggling to fund transit and infrastructure and affordable housing. That's another thing about this too. Seattle, where Amazon was based, or is based, I should say, brought forth a motion last year to tax large employers to help fund affordable housing and homelessness initiatives. Mm-hmm. And Amazon led a lobbying campaign to end that, and it went away. The city council brought forward an amended proposal that reduced the burden, but Amazon is like, no, we don't want to pay for that. And if you don't take it away, we're going to cancel our expansion plans, because they're also expanding their main headquarters in Seattle. And Seattle's like, okay, sir, don't hurt us.
Well, not all of them, because Shama Swant, longtime counselor there, and
yeah,
socialist.
Socialist.
Do we work that in every category here?
Socialist.
Category 4, Randy the Socialist.
No. Randy the Socialist.
So you're just going to make that.
There should be a character we make up, Randy the Socialist.
He's a guy now. You have one.
Yeah. But it's just,
I'm going to be marching.
I've heard people attack AOC, though, for like saying they weren't paying $3 billion. But I think the point is that, you know, if you're the $3 billion in... Technically, I suppose it was like 2.8, but yeah, that's $3 billion in taxes that New York City should have been collecting.
Exactly. Where does the money come from? It has to come from somewhere, right?
Right, and it just
basic
economics. The whole thing left. I mean, the whole contest left a bad taste in my mouth, and again, mainstream media was so complicit and like, isn't this cute how they're trying to find a new headquarters.
Survivor,
like, no,
North America.
Cute. It's not cute. It's a freaking reality show, yeah. And you're freaking complicit in thinking that the one of the top two richest corporations in the world isn't just trying to get a handout.
If you want to be an ultimate 21st century person, like, buy an iPhone and get it sent to you via Amazon, and you've just covered all the bases.
Pretty much. And then watch YouTube on it and Facebook.
And read the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Full circle.
The Amazon Washington Post hashtag fake news. Anyway.
Yeah.
Donald. They do good work.
We didn't mention him today.
They do good work. Well,
yeah. Which is fine. He'll definitely. I just did. Huh?
Well, yeah. There we go.
Sorry, people.
I mean, this
Trump free show.
I mean, he kind of intersects in this some way because, you know, there's a measles outbreak in the world right now. Here's some numbers. There are 4,300 infected in the Philippines, 15,000 in the Ukraine, 500,000 in Madagascar, and that doesn't include the 300 people who have died from measles in Madagascar. Meanwhile, in about 5 states, there have been 100 cases of measles. In Vancouver, there is an outbreak. They're looking at 33 students at 2 Vancouver French schools. Yeah, it's bizarre. This was a disease that the CDC said was eradicated in the United States in 2000. But this is thanks to our old friends, the anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, and I guess it plays into Trump because he's the kind of guy like, you know, maybe they have a point. Maybe both sides have a point. We don't know. most interesting thing I saw this week on this was there was a measles survivor. She had it like 70 years ago when there was no vaccine. And she said, for God's sake, vaccinate your children. She lost her hearing in an ear and was messed up by it. It messes you up and, you know, you have to live your whole life with this. It's not as if – it's not like chicken pox. You have them, then they go away.
Yeah.
And there can be, you know, secondary effects from that too, but not to the degree that you get from measles. Now, normally we, you know, there's a certain amount of objectivity here when presenting a story. It's like, I'm just going to say it now. You don't vaccinate your kids when it's all available. And this, the dad in the story talked to CBC and he was making all kinds of excuses like, well, you know, we heard some things. Idiot. He's an idiot. If you don't vaccinate your kids, you are an idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say in my opinion because you are. There is no reason on earth that this disease should still exist. Both of my parents grew up poor. I'm going to give it a personal note, right? My father had a couple of diseases. They didn't have measles. He had a couple of things that are completely preventable now due to vaccines, right? He almost didn't make it when he was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And of course, you come to this country, it's like, well, why the hell wouldn't you vaccinate your kids?
Yeah.
You know, entire neighborhoods were going back, you know, in those days when they were young, which is a long time ago now. And they, you know, those countries you mentioned too, where they don't have widespread vaccines, but then there are times when they do have a vaccination program, and then for weird reasons, not the hippie reasons that these people probably, sorry hippies, but it's, you know, that these people probably made. I can't say that with a certainty,
there
but there
with...
is that, well, there was some information out there, there's information out there about everything.
This
is flat earth kind of information you're getting there.
There are people with immunodeficiencies who can't have the measles vaccine because the way measles works is it attacks the cells that build immunity and remember like the details of diseases you've been sort of immunized against. So talking about long-term consequences, if you had, you know, common cold or flu strains or pneumonia or what have you, it sort of hard wipes your cell memory so that you can become vulnerable to those things again. So, you know, people with immunodisorders tend not to get vaccinated. And that goes for a large variety of vaccinations too. But that's why herd vaccination comes into play. Because if 99% of the people have a vaccination, it protects the 1% that can't get vaccinated because everybody around you can't get the disease and spread the disease. But yeah, the dad, Emmanuel Bilodeau, he took his kids, his family to Vietnam, where measles is still relatively prevalent. And one of his sons, you know, this shows how fast they move. They get on the plane to come home. One of his sons catches the outbreak and they go to the hospital again and again and again, and it takes the doctors a while to realize, holy Hannah, this is measles. You have measles. You've brought measles into our hospital. And by then the kid has passed it on to his brothers and they've all gone to school, including, I will add, Jules Verne Secondary School.
Sorry, I'm laughing at the name, not at the measles.
Well, I mean, a vaunted pillar of science fiction and forward thinking, Jules Verne, his secondary school in Vancouver, measles outbreak.
20,000 leagues under because you didn't get vaccinated. Yeah, it's super contagious. Like it is.
Yeah.
It's certain ones, you know, diseases, whatever. But measles is like when it's airborne and you're on an airplane. It's like, oh my God. Now the dad you're talking about there was talking about the reports that he had heard. It seems that before they went on this trip, they went to the doctor and got a bunch of vaccinations for traveling. He didn't say what they were. The shots, whatever. Maybe.
Good dad keeping careful track of those vaccinations.
But he said that the doctor said that he didn't think that it was necessary for them to get measles. And I don't actually believe that. I think that's absolute poppycock.
Because Vietnam's one of the places you go and get measles.
Because wouldn't it? And you could almost see if they were going to get their shots that the person might – they called it a travel clinic – that the person giving the shots might not ask because it's like the assumption is that you've had this, right? Especially when you go to some place like Vietnam, You'd mentioned Madagascar. These are places where these things are still prevalent.
Where you get your shots before you go. Yeah.
Because structurally, they don't have the ability in a lot of these places. Well,
The other reason I find that bunk is because one of the cases in Washington State, somebody brought measles back with them from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So your doctor, if you have kids and they haven't been vaccinated for measles,
it should be a red flag, right? It's like, yeah. Oh, you're going there?
Oh, you're going to Vietnam?
What do you mean you haven't been vaccinated?
Maybe you should vaccinate your kids for measles.
Yeah.
And can I interest you in some other vaccinations? And the hilarious thing, not hilarious, haha, but...
Ridiculous, hilarious.
We see now this... There's an element of teenage rebellion now with these kids, and there's this kid in Australia who's like,
please vaccinate
me. F you, Mom and Dad. I'm 18, and I just went and got my measles vaccination.
Rebellion has changed so
much. I just shot up, Mom, with a measles vaccine.
It used to be like smoking behind the garage. Now it's like, oh, I got a measles vaccine.
Yeah.
But
instead of smoking behind the nurse's office, you're in the nurse's office getting your vaccine.
Vaping on your Juul and getting vaccinated. The very unfortunate part of this, beyond the fact that the kids have measles, is that there was 4 dates where they were in the emergency trying to get this sorted out.
Yeah.
Everybody that was in the emerge that day, and of course, people that are in there have, you know, if you have any, I heard one that was a premature baby in there who has no shots and is on watch, they're terrified that something's going to happen to this kid because, you know, you have no passive immunity.
That family, yeah, because the baby is a little less than one years old, but
it has health issues.
Had surgery. So. Yeah, she had surgery when she was born premature and had a surgery. So, they're waiting. They're sort of counting down to when the baby could get the first batch of measles vaccine.
Yeah.
It's like around 1, and I think the other hit you get is around 6. They're scared stiff because this baby is symptomatic of the reason why herd vaccination is supposed to be a thing is because the baby couldn't get the vaccine.
If everybody had the Jags. That's right.
Jags. That's an expression I haven't heard in a while.
Did you have the Jag? Yes. Anyway, they're like almost right away, a petition was started on change.org for mandatory vaccination in Vancouver schools. It got 25,000 signatures.
Change.org, so you know it'll be effective.
No, you know what I mean, though. Like 25,000 people signed. Yeah. No, but the fact that many people, hopefully not Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch and other people that signed petitions, it's a sign right there.
Randy the Socialist.
Randy the Socialist signed. Randy S. says, vaccinate your kids. Karl Marx would want it that way. I'm sure there's somebody out there that thinks vaccinations are a socialist plot. I know there's a biblical take on it too, but I've never figured that one out. Did you remember the school... to the north of here, there was a whooping cough outbreak, and it was something to do with somewhere in the Bible it says don't get a vaccination, but I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that anywhere.
Well, it's,
so it's, it doesn't, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible that
says
don't.
It's not even a religious case. I mean, like, Jehovah's,
don't get a vaccination.
It's not even a Jehovah's Witness thing.
Guess they vaccinate, right? I know there's certain things they don't
there's
do.
There's like 18 states that allows for personal or philosophical objections. So that you could be waived from having your vaccinations. And, of course, by philosophical objections, I mean we've listened to Jenny McCarthy too many times and wholly believe that vaccinations lead to autism, even though there's like a 4,000 words on the CDC website that says, no, we have proven it isn't. Stop telling us about this. Stop believing this. We're the CDC. Disease is in the title. We should know. And I've seen this meme get passed around the last few days, and you know, people posting like, "So you are telling me I can't bring peanut butter to school, but measles is okay?" I mean, that's a bit.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of true, though.
It's
right?
sort of true. Yeah, it has the virtue of being true
because there are lots
being
of people.
Exaggerated,
well, there are some people that are ridiculously allergic to peanuts, and many that are sort of allergic to peanuts.
Yeah,
but this is definitely not a peanuts thing. But the study that people refer to all the time, that I think was in the Lancet like 20 years ago, was the Lancet had to say, "Look, this, you know, we're sorry, we published this.
Yeah,
it's not real. Don't, you know." Stop spreading.
No one's more sorry than us for reporting
this. Yeah, stop spreading this crap around. There's no link. Let me reiterate that. No link between autism and the mumps, measles, rubella, a.k.a. German measles vaccine. So vaccinate your children. If not, you are an idiot. And Scott, that is a Hurts moment for you. Throw
Scott,
it there.
Scott, he'll
that's
come
me
to
throwing
you.
The book at all of you.
Scott, he'll come to
I'm
your
coming,
house and faxing
I'm coming
your kids.
For you. Like Liam Neeson when he was a good guy.
He's that's not something anymore, else that happened in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Ish.
Like, I thought, will find you.
I thought Taken.
And I will vaccinate.
I thought Taken was a fictional movie, Liam Neeson.
No. For another day.
For another day.
I don't think he'll be at the Oscars, will he?
It'll
not.
Be very uncomfortable if he is. And the Oscars is already looking pretty uncomfortable. But that'll be for another episode of End Credits.
So it's a must watch then, of course. End Credits
can,
homework.
Can you can learn more about Open Sources, meanwhile, at our website, opensourcesguelph.com. Find us on Facebook at Open Sources Newswire or on Twitter at @OS_Guelph. And you can download this and past episodes of the show on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. I can be found at Adam A. Donaldson on Twitter, or you can go to GuelphPolitico.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, and I keep a little side blog, not a blog, a side pod at Podbean.
A side pod.
Side pod? Side podcast
I
at kinda
like
Spanner
that,
Book.
Actually.
Side pod. Yeah. Spannerbook.podbean. I've joined the Podbean Collective.com.
Maybe DJ sounds good to me. We'll join our Podbean Collective. She's here at the top of the hour here on CFRU, 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio, and we'll be back next Thursday at 5 for more Open Sources, and we will see you then.
Vaccinate!